Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Conversations About Light. I'm joined here with Josh and Mark again. How are we going?
Very well, thanks, Caleb.
Yeah?
Good to be here.
Good, thanks.
It's good to be having a conversation with the two of you again. I'm really curious to get your thoughts on... Well, that just stopped really dramatically. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the scripture that we're landing on today, which is Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, as we continue on this series, Standing Firm. But before we do, the question that I have prepared.
Oh, yes.
Slaved over for weeks, thinking.
You're making it up now.
Just buying time. What's your favorite meal to cook and why?
Oh, I'll answer this one because nothing ever comes to mind when you ask these questions.
The first thing Mark always does is he throws the finger towards whether it's Josh or Jim.
Yeah, mind goes
it's
blank.
It's just the automatic reflex.
Yeah. Okay, brisket. I got it. Something actually popped in my mind. I love making brisket.
Fantastic. And why?
Because everyone likes it, so you can get approval from important people. It's super easy to make and almost impossible to mess up.
Really?
And it's
I thought brisket's pretty hard.
No, that's the people are lying to you. It's not. It's so good.
It is very much a crowd pleaser, I think.
Yeah.
If anyone ever hears there's brisket at a party or someone smoked a brisket, it's like, that's exactly it. All right, Josh.
Oh, I think brisket's hard to beat. I do love barbecuing, so that's probably the predominant way in which I cook in our house.
Yeah, too.
And it does the lion's share of the cooking. When I cook in the kitchen, it's quite sad, really. It's normally like, bacon and eggs or sausages or...
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
No, that's for dinner. I cook bacon and eggs. So my cooking is, it needs a lot of work, I guess. But I'll leave it there. I don't want to throw myself further under the bus than that.
Nice. No, that's good. I love those responses. I'm so pleased with myself right now. Just because I was able to get Mark to answer a question with joy. That was the key.
Yeah. I feel pleased too. Let's do this again.
Yeah. Oh, happy to. Right. Let's dive into today's reading.
Ephesians 6 verse 17, he said, take up the helmet of salvation, and the portion we're looking at is, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Awesome. Are you guys able to unpack that a bit for us when it's talking about the sword of the Spirit and what the word of God is? Like, is that the literal?
He's just asked for a sermon. Go ahead.
I think those are two huge topics, right? If you think about the Word of God, there's just tons and tons of books written on that, and the sword of the Spirit. Well, there's a constant, Spirit versus Word kind of thing. I love how Paul just abandons all that nonsense and makes it inseparable. So this is my favorite part about this verse, where he goes, "It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." There is no version of the Spirit that doesn't contain his word. There is no version of the word which is devoid of the Spirit. And if you manage to do that, you've departed from both in some way. So I love that Paul just ignores those categories completely, in a sense, by going, they're one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
And when it's talking about the word, is it talking about the literal word of God that we're reading, or what is it talking about?
Paul's not talking about the 66 books compiled into the holy scriptures that we have.
Right. What would he be talking about?
Paul's talking about the message that comes from God. So the word there being rhema is this kind of spoken word of God. I think most commentators would probably say the arrows, the point of the arrow of what he's talking about is probably the gospel, is probably the very specific word that Paul's talking about, is that the spoken word about Christ is the sword of the Spirit, is what the Spirit uses to cut open people's hearts and change lives, is the gospel of Jesus.
Yeah.
Not the 66 books. The Bible is God's word for us, but Paul's not meaning, yeah. I mean, and Josh made a good point. I you can correct me if this isn't what you meant, but when Paul's writing this, they don't have the New Testament.
Yeah, right.
And the 66 books. So he's not, he can't be like, he's not prophesying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if you think about the big themes that we draw out of the scripture, God spoke and creation came into being. God's word is just immensely powerful. You know, the prophets all use this, like, this is the word of the Lord. And then it's like, I'm thinking of Isaiah, says, my word will fulfill the purpose for which I sent it. Mm. And he's missing most of the New Testament. So the scriptures are included when they write, all of scripture is breathed out by God. It's of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So yeah, the scriptures are included. But it's also, Jesus is described as the word of God. God spoke in the past, but now he's spoken by his Son, Hebrews says. So the person of Jesus is God's message to us. That's where we find the gospel, that point in that Mark's taking. Mm. So I think the point of, like, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It's basically when God is communicating and saying something, which is contained within the scriptures, but not just that, that is what's powerful, that is what's rescuing.
Mm.
I think the kind of thing I said before is, it's possible, think of it this way, you can have the scriptures, but be devoid of the voice of God. The Pharisees showed us that clearly.
Mm. Yeah.
So it doesn't mean, do you have a Bible, when Paul says this. What he means is, are you listening to God? Yes, through the scriptures, but are you responding, obeying God? The most of the people Jesus were preaching to didn't have the scriptures like the Pharisees had them, but yet they received him.
Mm.
So that's a big difference here. So I think that's, for me, I guess, pointing at what do we mean by the word? We just mean God's presence, his revelation to us, his revealing himself to us.
Mm. Yeah, it reminds me of, I just got it up now, in Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, there's this, I remember when Simon visited King's Cross and him and Sata did a training for a preacher's course. And I remember during the preaching course, he said, one of the amazing things about preaching the Bible, preaching from the Bible, is that God's character and God's word cannot be separated. Mm-hmm. What God says and what God does are always precisely the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I can say something and do the opposite because my word and my character are not interlinked. God can't. That's why when God said, let there be light, there had to be light.
Yes.
Because his word is powerful and his words are God. His words have the same character and nature as he does. So that's why his promises are so faithful, because they are his word with his character, with his nature, that's why his word has life, because God is life. That's why his words have love, because God is love. And there's this, like, word and nature of God that can't be separated. I think that's partly why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That there's this connection. Even if you think of Jesus, he makes Peter. Sorry. So where I'm trying to go with that is that somehow being made, there is something not as powerful as that, but there is something powerful about us being able to speak what is true or what is not true. It does have some sort of power. So Satan going to, we spoke about this in the last podcast, Satan going to Eve and going, did God really say?
Yeah.
You know, he's not, it's not a question about God's words. It's a question about God's words relating to his character. And Satan's creating a divide. God's words and his character are two different things. He said this to you, but he's really hiding this from you.
Wow.
And he's actually lying about God, not his words. And then Eve, he doesn't win until he gets Eve to agree that he's probably right. Yeah. And then he's got it. Or Jesus goes to Peter in the positive and says, you've seen my actions. You've seen my life. Who do you say I am? Yeah. Say it. You know, and at the end of the day, the biggest question we all have to answer is, who is Jesus? Yeah. And so there's some sort of connection. I don't mean some sort of as in it's mysterious. I mean some sort of as in it's real connection between speaking. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Speaking truth into difficult situations that somehow puts back into us faith in what we already know to be true. And so even though, you know, speaking God's word may not be a new word to us, I mean, we've all had this. You listen to a sermon and you know the content, but somehow the word of the sermon built you up again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great example.
Even though it wasn't new, but the sword of the Spirit got right into your heart and just started going to work.
Yeah, very good.
Love it. So what does that mean then for us as believers in community with one another?
I think when Paul says take up that sword, he's encouraging us to, again, present right now, how is the word of God shaping me? So I know a lot of people would say, oh, the sword of the Spirit is the one offensive weapon in the kind of picture that we've been looking through. And I think it is, but from the framework of the scriptures, for me, my exposition comes closer to the side of the Hebrews text you read, God's word is coming. Am I grabbing a hold of this word because it's transforming me? Mm. I'll be able to stand because my eyes are on Jesus, because I see Jesus, because I'm feeding upon him. That's where Eve, you know, kind of was tempted by the fruit instead of to be trusting in God. So when that word, when we believe that word, when we trust that word, when we take it up, something begins to happen to us, like Mark's saying, even in a preach that may know the content, your heart is shifting. And so I think the kind of way in the present that we did is we draw near to God, and we hear by daily bread, Jesus, you know, I have the words of life. Feed on me. Well, when? Right now, every day. So I think this is, like we said, being such a big theme in one sense, but it's also transformative, and that's in the Ephesians context. Paul's already alluded to this when he said, that's how Christ cares for the church. He washes it by the word. Mm. So this is like there's a transforming that happens by Christ speaking to the church, and that's what I think for me. The exposition for me heads slightly more in that direction than here's a sword and try to chop off some heads. It's like, no, God, how's this word shaping me, making me ready for battle? And of course, I think when we're talking about parents, husbands, wives, all those things he's mentioned, that's again how we do it. We pray, God, would your word get a hold of my marriage? Would your word impact my church? That's how we pray. And that's how we fight. Like, God, I can't change people's hearts. But I know something that can, when you speak and your word comes and impacts someone's heart, they're different.
Yeah.
So that's how we fight.
I think like fighting for each other as well. Like he's demonstrating that, as Josh said, with like wives and children and colleagues, and he's doing what he's telling us to do. He's picking up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and he's saying, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's the word of Christ that's going to enable you to love as you ought. And so in a sense, he's not fighting husbands. He's fighting for Christian husbands. He's pushing back against every cultural lie, everything the enemy might have put into that marriage. He's fighting back with the sword of the Spirit and the word of Christ to say, you love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it, for example. So there's like I think a practical way. How can we even do this, help each other out, is fight for each other with the word of God, with the word of truth, with the word of Christ applied into our hearts and our situations. That's far better, far more powerful than judgment. I mean, you laughed at me because I judged your your choice of chocolate, which is, I mean, I'm just going to say so that everyone can judge you. You brought a raspberry hazelnut tart Cadbury chocolate.
I'm so sorry.
So that judgment might mean that you eat this in at home next time and you don't bring it out in public. But that doesn't really help, right? But the word of Christ is powerful, defeats the enemy, shifts the heart, and empowers us to live like we couldn't. Sorry, you were going to say something?
nothing that would contribute to that thought. I was just going to say it empowers you to take a bite of the chocolate. That's really fascinating. So when I think of the sword, I do think of that offensive weapon. It's something that you use against someone else. But what it sounds like you guys have been saying is that it's actually more defensive as well. So it's like cuts through our own heart, but then we can use it to cut through others' hearts around us. As opposed to that attack approach.
Well, I think I'm saying that, but I'm not saying it doesn't attack. I mean, I'm thinking of Jesus when he's tempted. He quotes the word of God and pushes that. So we can cut down the lies in a sense as well, you know. So I'm not advocating for one view of it. I'm just saying I think the predominant view has always been it's some kind of weapon to yield. But when you think about the word of God, it's not just a weapon. It's like life. It's redemption. It's the gospel story. That whole word, that message of God to us, is more than just. It's not just let's put it in the suitcase of when the devil tempts you, throw a scripture at him. I think it's just deeper than that, and more powerful than that. To be honest,
I love how, again, in Hebrews, it's living and active. Yes. It's so it's that beautiful. It's relational.
Yeah. And a chapter later in Hebrews, Paul goes on to kind of tease them a bit, where he's like, "You guys just need milk. You're unskilled in handling the word of righteousness," is how he puts it to them. So it's like he's given this, like, there's this powerful, skillful word which will transform you, but you guys are unskilled, he says, which is kind of, and the framework he uses is it's the word. That's where you're unskilled. You're unskilled in knowing God's voice and speaking. You don't respond when God speaks. It's kind of hearing the background noises of what he's kind of implying by his cheeky rebuke of them.
I think this can be done really badly. I'll give you an example of it. Nass and I were in an argument, and she was wrong for like the first time ever, and there was a scripture to back it. and I opened it up in the argument to kind of go, look, I'm tired of arguing with you. You're just wrong. And I showed her. And she said in that, she's like, you might have found a scripture, but I don't feel loved. And she was right, because in that moment, what I was doing is I was actually siding with the devil to even use the Bible to fight against my wife and to chop her down. And so I was actually siding with her enemy, which is, it's that must be the worst form of attack, is using the Bible to hurt someone. And she was, thankfully, she was really gracious and able to discern what was going wrong. Because in other words, the way that maybe more skillfully would have been done is to go, hey, look, I think our argument is probably spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
I think the enemy is getting something right in your heart that I don't understand, and maybe you can help me a little bit. But can I just show you where I think God wants to call us both towards? And I can learn my part in that, and you can help me, but let's go there together and open up the scriptures. And then she might go, I feel loved. I feel rebuked. Yeah. Let's chat it through. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know exactly how we would have got it better, but I think all I'm trying to say is we can even be right, but hurt each other.
Yeah.
I like that. Oh,
you can be 100% correct, but completely wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally possible. I love the picture of turning the fight against each other. I don't love that. I love that that's highlighted, because, you know, when Paul says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, and all this, and then I think so often, which is why he's been at stake at pains to labor over marriages, the workplace, you know, slaves and masters, even, like, there's all these, and one of these things, what's going on when Satan is now winning the war when we've turned on each other.
Yeah, very good.
If the sword we have is used to chop someone else down. Now you've really missed the point. You're in the wrong battle.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So just in closing then, what's a thought or an encouragement or a question that we can go into our week with?
I'll read a quote from A.W. Tozer.
Please do.
He says, in his book, I Speak Back to the Devil, he says, I say, yes, devil, sin is terrible, but I remind you that I got it from you. And I remind you, devil, that everything good, forgiveness and cleansing and blessing, everything that is good, I have been freely given from Jesus Christ.